They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax. Joining me today, we have Dr. Gary Solomon again. For those of you who heard him a while back, I hope that you all went to his book and read it because it is phenomenal. And today we're going to talk about a couple of different points in the book. Gary, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Well, I'm honored to be back on your show. It's wonderful that you're doing this, and I'm very honored that you would have me return.
Well, Gary, you have an incredible amount of great information on your website, on your book. And every time I go to that book and every time I play around with it, I'm even more impressed than ever because I just learned so much more, not just about what you've done, but about the way the book works.
Yes, I'd like to think that I put together a piece of work. I wanted to make sure it was free so your listeners should understand it's free, but that in going into the book, not only are you looking at a visual book, but you're able to go into each subsection of the book and extract that and send it to yourself, and you can listen to that as an independent chapter or an independent section within a chapter. So it's all there for you in total or in part. You can do what you want with it.
Well, I've been sharing that with so many people, and one of the people that I'm going to send sections of it to is the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, because he is a medical doctor, and he should be able to understand this in his sleep.
Yes, he should.
Because you've actually just set the whole stage for what happens to us. And that's what you're going to talk about today, is it's not just mental.
Right.
It's not just the stress. It's not just, oh my gosh, I hope that the HOA doesn't send me another nasty gram today. But it actually changes your body. It changes the physical aspects of your body. And that's what I would like to get into. That's what I would like you to talk about today.
Sure. I will make that the focus of the discussion for today.
Let's go. What happens? What happens? I go home and I go to the mailbox and my palms start sweating and I start hyperventilating and I debate whether I should check the mail just in case there's a nasty gram or a demand letter or something. Is that the extent of it?
Well, you know, to do this, Sue, I'd like to go back just a little bit to give your listeners some imagery. So let's imagine for a moment that we're back 10,000 years and we're in the jungle, and there in the background is a lion getting ready to jump onto a zebra, for instance. Now, both of them are in a very calm state. There's no stress induced in them. But as soon as the zebra becomes aware of the fact that the lion is stalking him, the zebra begins to run, and so does the lion. And now the stress levels go off the charts. But when they go off the charts, they only last for about 2 to 3 minutes, because either the lion catches the zebra and the zebra's down and the zebra's dead, or the zebra gets away and the lion is hungry and doesn't get anything to eat. In both of those cases, the stress net level has now been reduced because the event is now over. Well, what happens chemically? Well, in our bodies, we have what are called glucocorticoids. And glucocorticoids don't get active unless our body goes into stress. But when it gets active, and here's the important part for the listener to understand, when the glucocorticoids get active, the body shuts down. It doesn't repair anything. There's no blood repair. There's no skin repair. That scratch that you've got on your hand, it's not being repaired. That headache you've got is not stopping. You think that you're hungry? You're not. The glucocorticoids have blocked everything, ovulation, digestion, anything that relates to what your body must go through. Now, that's taking place for 2 to 3 minutes. Now, let's go over to what we now know as westernized stress-related disorder. And we come to the United States, and we're under a lot of stress almost all the time. It's traffic. It's work. It's family. It's whatever event, and it goes from one stress to the next to the next. And our body doesn't have the time to repair. Now let's take a walk inside the homeowners association, which is different than any other stress we have. Where we're at work, and we're experiencing stress for 8 hours a day, and we're in the car and we're driving home for an hour and a half, we're experiencing stress for an hour and a half. When that ends, the stress is over, the glucocorticoid levels go down, and the body begins to function normally. Not in a homeowners association. Why? Because homeowners associations function under stress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The body is constantly stressed. Now let's go to your example of the mailbox. It's not normal to walk to a mailbox under stress. But if you live in a homeowners association and you started getting letters, you now feel stressed. Your body has begun to shut down. And it shuts down every time that happens. And now it's shut down as you're walking back to the house. You're concerned about the letter. You're fretted about the letter. You're calling your homeowners association. You're upset. You're having a fight with your husband, your children. You're under stress in the house. It's constant, constant stress. And these stress levels literally tear apart the way the body functions and heals. What is it that we now know? Stress-related disorders kill. They kill brain cells. They kill functions in the body that would normally be able to function at a normal level. They stop the body from being able to experience things such as pleasure versus pain. Stress disorders take away normal functioning, and in time, it destroys the individual.
We've talked to, and I mean, you and I have both done that, but we've heard from people who are just terrified of answering the phone, answering the door. They're just in a basket case. They're in this absolute nutsoid situation 24/7, Gary, yes. Because they're so afraid.
24/7, and this is a key component, because this is an HOA. This isn't the outside world where you're at work and you're not happy with your boss and you get to leave the job. This isn't the freeway where you're in traffic. This isn't, it's tax time and I got to pay my taxes. This is, you live in an HOA, therefore you're in it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It never goes away. Why? And this goes to a project that I'm working on now, where I'm trying to create definitive descriptors so that people can communicate. And this is what I call hyperstratification. When we talk about stratification, we're talking about the levels of power that we exist in. That is to say, in a normal society, we have a government, we have an employer, we have a supervisor, we have people above us and people below us. Those are stratifications. But when we're in a homeowners association, the homeowners associations are hyper-stratified. Why? Because you're not only living in your normal world environment, you're now living in another environment of stratification, owner, to the board members, to the management company, to the collection company, to the lawyers, And then ultimately the government process that forecloses on the house. The stress never, ever stops.
So what does that say for our country as a whole, since we seem to be going more and more and more into HOAs?
Well, you know, I wish I could give you a simple answer, but now I have to give a somewhat complicated answer. I began looking 5 years ago at why in the world are we doing this? What's its purpose? What are we doing this for? And about a year and a half ago, I began to listen to Obama and talk about the problems that we're having with our infrastructure in the United States, the fact that we're out of money, the fact that we don't have money to pay for our bridges and our roads and the repair of our gas lines and electricity and so on. Well, where are you going to get that money? Well, you're going to get it from privatized investment. One big, huge investor, the investor that comes in and says, I'll go ahead and build a subdivision, and I'll put the roads in, and I'll put the gates in, and I'll do everything. If you give me the right to own this property as a HOA so I can collect monthly fees on it to offset the cost of me taking care of everything. And so, homeowners associations proliferate because of the tremendous amount of money that is going into payment of the infrastructure, which, by the way, the homeowner is already paying for by paying property tax, but now they're paying it again by paying HOA dues. And at more sophisticated levels, we have not only HOAs, but we have master associations and parent associations and on, as we begin to stratify this up more and more, ultimately to collect money for the purpose of profit-making, ultimately to hold people down.
I want to focus mostly on, you've taken me down a tangent here, but I want to go back, eventually back to the physical changes that happen. But you raise a good question. What is it costing American homeowners to be homeowners now? I mean, the cost isn't just your mortgage and your taxes, and your HOA fees. There's a lot more, isn't there?
It's costing them their lives. I realize to the listener this sounds very dramatic, and what do you mean I'm going to lose my life if I move into an HOA? It's not a gunshot. It's not a car accident that terminates the life, but it is a long-running stress, and that long-running stress is taking away, bit by bit, pieces of their life, their daily living, shortening their life. We know that it shortens their life. We know that pregnant women living in homeowners association are having more problems with defects, birth defects, and birth complications than women who are not living in homeowners association. Now, if you know that, and we know that is a fact, why in the world would you continue to do this? And the answer is money. Lots and lots of money.
But what happens when we have a whole lot more people who are going to be dependent on care? If they've got birth defects, if they've got birth complications, surely we're giving birth to a whole generation of people who are going to need more care and more money.
Well, you are absolutely right. And this is something that no one, this is the first time since I've been doing this, that anybody has brought up. Congratulations. What about the trickle-down effect into the economy of those people living in homeowners associations who are now going to need more health care because they live in a homeowners association? And who's going to pay that bill? And the answer is, well, we are. We're going to pay the bill.
But we're already stretched to a limit. I mean, you talk in your book about all the fees that people in an HOA are charged. You've got assessments, you've got collection fees, you've got late fees, all attorney fees, it just keeps escalating and escalating and escalating. At what point?
So you shouldn't be surprised, given that the CC&Rs can constantly be modified, you should not be surprised that at some point along the way, there's going to be called a health care fee. And if you live in an association, you're required to pay $9.95 a month towards homeowners association fee living. And that goes into a health care fund, to a master fund, to help people who are have medical complications related to homeowners associations. It's just another fee. It's just another charge. Certainly you can afford $9.95.
Wayne Hyatt, a number of years ago, 15, 20 years ago, wrote, and for those of you who don't know who Wayne Hyatt is, he is a CAI, he's an attorney, he's with CAI, and he writes a lot of the governing documents, but he wrote a law review article called Evolution and Reinvention, or Reinvention and Evolution, I'm not sure, but he talks about ultimately HOAs taking care of you from cradle to grave. So they're talking about hospitals, they're talking about education, they're talking about feeding you, they're talking about about taking care of you when you're sick. They're talking mm-hmm. about burying you. They're talking about providing you with wood for heating. They're providing you every single little thing.
Yeah.
And that's what he talked about in his law review article. It is absolutely terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it is certainly by looking to the future where we are going. That's exactly what we're doing. It's exactly where we're going. And we're going to get there as one HOA after another is required. People don't understand this. This isn't voluntarily anymore. HOAs are being required by the state to be built. You don't have a choice. You can't go into an area and say, build me a new home, but not in an HOA. You have got to find a plot of land that was pre-HOA designated, and then you pull those permits. But they're far and few between. And as other neighborhoods become older and antiquated, they will be torn down and turned into homeowners associations.
Well, here's what's happening in Fairfax, Virginia, where I live. And I don't know, it's probably not just here, but what the county will do is they will have come up with a master plan every 10 years or so. And so what you have is some of the older subdivisions where you have maybe a quarter of an acre, half an acre lot. They're re-subdividing, they're rezoning them. And they're saying that, all right, now because this is not good, smart use of space, we're going to rezone this from 2 per acre to 20 per acre. So, in other words, we can put 20 houses on here.
Sure.
On this acre lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is the house is there and you're living in it, but what they're doing is they're taxing you as if there were 20 houses there.
Yes.
And then when you cannot afford to pay the taxes, you give in and you sell it. So that's the way they're converting non-HOA housing into HOA housing here.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got an older house, it's drafty, the developer comes in, offers you money, he offers you a new unit in one of these things, and so you go for it because you can't afford to pay the taxes anymore.
Sure. Sounds like real old 200-year stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What happened 200 years with the taxes and the riding of the horses into the town and give us your chickens and give us your Chihuahua taxes. We're just feeding this incredible machine that gets more and more hungry. And unfortunately, a certain portion of those people that are hungry in that machine are also people whom we know. They're our friends. They're our next door neighbors. They get up and go to work for the machine. That's taking money from the other machine.
Before our bodies shut down completely, before all of the stress destroys everything we have, shouldn't we decide that, wait a minute, it's time to fight? So far it seems it's the flight mode that we're in because we have all these animals after us. And I use the term, I mean, they are animals. They're after us Is it not time to band together and say, wait a minute, stop the tail has got to stop. The tail's got to stop wagging the dog. It is our homes, our lives, and this is not acceptable. We cannot accept this. We cannot continue to go down this road. We've got to stop.
I agree with you completely, and there is no doubt about it. I'd like to tell you exactly what happens with respect to that. Let's go back to our example of the zebra and the lion.
All right.
Look at that vision. Look at that one that you see where they've caught it on film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a lot of zebras running up and helping the other zebra?
No.
No. You don't see it because the name of the game is malignant apathy. If it's not happening to me, then it's not my problem. Inside the HOA, home number one, they could be being driven over the edge with letters, problems, complications, you're this, you're that. The home next door, they're not getting any letters at all. They're not bothered. They're not concerned. And so, malignant apathy. Now, understand this as a model. This is quite well orchestrated that one person in the neighborhood gets a letter while five others don't, because they don't want people teaming together. That is, if I send a letter to every person on the block, I can expect an uprising. But if I send it to only one or two, and they're not communicating with each other, and they're lone wolves, well, malignant apathy. They're on their own. And that frustration of being on their own creates additional frustration, and there is desire to retaliate. Who did this to me? Which one of you people on the block turned me in? Which one of you did this? And so it gets worse. And as they sit back and they laugh, and they do laugh at the management companies, they do laugh at what the homeowners and neighbors are doing to each other, all based on a single concept that we, the homeowner, voluntarily hired them to do what they're doing to us. It's amazing, really, when you think about
it. It is. It's absolutely amazing because they're employees. We hire them. We pay their salaries. And they tell us what to do. They have the power to fine us.
Yes.
And to foreclose to collect that fine. There
yes.
is something seriously wrong with this model, Gary.
Yes, the model is terribly flawed as it relates to public decency, as it relates to humanity. It's a perfect model as it relates to profiteering. It's perfect. If all that you wanted to do is sit back at the end of the day and watch the money roll into your account, this is perfect. Because you don't have to do anything.
It's
great. All that you also have to do is be able to sleep at night. And therein lies the problem that some of us have. I can't sleep at night knowing that this is taking place against my neighbor. These people, they love it. They think it's great. And at the end of the year, they will have a Christmas party on my money to celebrate their profits that they've made off me.
It's $65 billion a year. That's what we know goes into the HOA industry coffers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they admit to.
And certainly not getting smaller.
Well, the thing is, I wonder how much more is collected that we never will know about.
Yes.
There's the embezzlement. I mean, they're not going to list that as their profits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got millions of dollars a year that kind of disappear from HOAs.
Yes.
We've got managers, and I've heard from homeowners who call with all kinds of problems, but managers have found so many creative ways of fleecing homeowners, and the money goes directly to the managers because it's not going through the HOA. It's not going through the board. Nobody
yes.
knows about it.
Yes. And that they get more and more creative ways every year. This in a few days here now, we're talking, I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to have our annual HOA convention where new products are being displayed to the HOA industry.
Oh, yeah.
Drones now being let in the neighborhood. Walls that are going to be treated as basically pony walls are walls that you have to pay, if you will, toll roads to get in and out of a neighborhood, subcharges for allowing mail delivery into the neighborhood, on and on and on. It's a private neighborhood separate from the government. They can do whatever they want. The remarkable thing with drones, where the rest of the country has rules from the FDA about the, the aeronautical division, about how low these drones or how high they can fly. The air above an HOA is owned by the HOA. Therefore, they could put as many drones as they want up there.
Yeah, you've talked about that, and you do talk about that in your book, and you actually have some images of them flying into your house.
Yes, and most of these you come out in the area of, this is fantastic, this is not going to happen. Well, you know what's not going to happen? It's not going to happen that you're going to have to live in the neighborhood that you're going to have to pay to live in. And it's not going to happen that you're not going to be able to paint your house the color you want. And it's not, and it's not, and it's not, but it is. It's the next knot that's going to happen that people hang their hat on and say, well, that won't happen. At least we're done with that. We're not done, because there's too much money.
Why do we not understand and realize that by allowing this to continue, we are creating a world for our children and grandchildren that's going to be unimaginable?
I oftentimes think of this. How can they do this? And I believe it is a narcissism. The narcissism of the owner of the management company or the collection company or the law firm that says, I'm going to take care of me and my family, and I'm going to put food on the table, and they're not going to have to put up with this. But they're wrong. Because the people that are going to retaliate are the children of the people who are living in these neighborhoods where their parents are being harassed and being harangued. They're going to come out swinging, and they're going to attack the enemy. And these people, to them, they are the enemy. And if I were them, I wouldn't want my kid going to one of those schools where someone I just foreclosed or not happy house had a kid in school. That's not where I want my kids. But they're not going to take that into account.
You know what? That's an excellent point. I never thought of that. Because now you've got the kids that'll be in school together, right?
That's exactly right. You want to be, Mrs. HOA management company person, you want to be lying on a table in an operating room waiting to get an operation, only to learn that the nurse that's standing over you is someone who you've just evicted from her house? Oh, you got a problem.
Ooh.
You got a real problem. And you don't know it, because that person's not going to say a word. They're not going to advertise the fact that you multiply that by the number of possibilities, the mechanic, the electrician, the individuals across the board who are being affected by all of this activity. Eventually, they're going to retaliate in large numbers. And if that sounds reminiscent to you, to people storming the gates because there's no food, well, it should, because that's exactly what it's like. It's just taking a long time to see.
And you're painting a picture of a really nasty world to come up. I think if we're smart, we'll put a stop to it now. Because right now, it's the greed. I mean, it's the greed that's driving this. The government's greed, the industry greed. It's greed across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Local municipal greed, they're just constantly, it's like this big, giant sucking machine. And they just keep sucking and sucking and sucking. They've sucked the air out of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, once the money's gone, there's not going to be a whole lot.
Is gone. And for these people who are suffering these repercussions, the 1 in 10 homes, they're referred to as collateral damage. They're just collateral damage in the neighborhood. Look how happy the other 9 people are, see? They don't complain.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was told initially when I said, when I first found out what an HOA was, and I said something to them. I said, This is ridiculous. And they said, oh, we're so sorry you feel that way, because nobody else feels that way. But in those days, there was no internet. And that's the big equalizer, because now people go online and now you can hear from other people. And you realize that it's not an isolated incident like CAI would have you believe. Oh, it's just an isolated incident. They wouldn't do a thing like that. Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, really? An isolated incident. So in your book, you have images of arteries that are closing up. You have images of brain cells and neurons and things that are disappearing. Alzheimer's?
Yes.
Heart attack?
Alzheimer's.
Heart attack,
Alzheimer's, stress. People don't realize. The word that I'm about to use, you've never heard of. I use the word with corticoids. You probably have not heard of that word. Here's another word, telomeres. The telomeres exist at the end of your chromosome chains. Those are the ones that allow, they exist as buffers so that the chromosome can then function normally without having to deal with problems of stress. There's a problem. The telomere can only handle so much, and then it begins to fray. And it's very much like a piece of rope that after a while, the ends have just frayed away, and the rope is just all open. The telomere never has time to heal. Well, it's the telomeres. And once the telomeres begin to fray and they cannot heal, the life expectancy of the individual gets shorter and shorter. Example, ulcers. For many years, we thought that ulcers was a bacteria. We thought it was because of the kids, not a bacteria. Because of the kids, you're giving me ulcers. Well, lo and behold, many years later, you can go ahead and relax. It is not stress. It's bacteria. And a lot of people have this bacteria, but not everybody gets affected by it. But wait a minute. The surprise turn. You see, the reason the bacteria gets to grow is because when the glucocorticoid level goes up in the body, the repair system is shut down. And therefore, the bacteria grows. Yes, it is stress. It is stress that's causing the ulcer. It's causing the ulcer because the bacteria is allowed to grow uninterrupted.
And that's what's giving you all of these health problems.
Yes. Yes, all of the health problems. All of the health problems. Is that to say that Mr. and Mrs. Smith down the street haven't got an infected toe? No, that's not to say that. Or that they're not having a problem with joint pain? No, they've got that. It's the plethora of problems that people are having. And the stress on top of the stress, what I call stress by proxy. The parents are under stress. Their HOA is under stress. They're sitting at the dinner table. They're arguing. Who's hearing the arguing? The kid. The kids aren't hearing the arguing because, I don't know, the couch is frayed. The kids are hearing an argument now because of the HOA, and it's constant. And now it's never a safe place to be. And so the dinner table now becomes a war zone, and everybody goes off into their pocket of peace as much as they can get it.
Their pocket of peace, huh? How effective is it?
For a while, it works, but eventually it disseminates its way throughout the entire house and throughout the entire community. And it doesn't take a whole lot of work to stand outside your neighborhood, to stand outside your home. Look up and down the block and ask yourselves, where is everybody? Where is all the life? Don't kids still live? Where did they go? And the answer is, they're all inside. They're not in those. They're not on the street. They're not playing. They're not having fun. Well, and it's very visible.
Well, therein lies another problem, because with all of the health problems that we're experiencing, obesity, diabetes, all of that stuff, kids are shunted back indoors because people don't like them. They're too noisy. They litter. They leave their bikes and their toys outside. And, oh, my gosh, that's going to devalue property for miles around. We can't have that. So what we're doing is we're actually physically making kids less healthy by not allowing them to be out, by not allowing them to run and to just let off steam. Mm-hmm. To play.
This notion of the devalued property because the homeowners association devalued because of the neighbor next door or because of this and that. This is absolutely not true. And this has come from spurious statement after spurious statement that now we believe is the truth.
Yeah.
No one has ever shown this to be scientifically true.
It's not. It's absolutely not. But a friend of mine who years and years ago lived in Maryland had a little boy, and there was this huge open lot outside their condominium, and the kids would go down and they'd play down there. Mm-hmm. And there were some older ladies who lived there, and they didn't like to hear kids yell and scream and have fun. I mean, they'd kick the ball. Plenty of room, no danger of the ball hitting anybody's window or anything like that. These were little kids, 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and the parents could watch them from the balconies, from their units. And no, they didn't want kids there. They sent the kids in. It was a huge, you know, huge thing in the paper and all that. So the association went in and planted all these trees so that this open field would not be available for kids to play in. They didn't want to hear kids because they devalued property.
Right.
And they could go 3 miles away to the school and play in the lot over there, but they didn't want them playing right outside. I mean, these are young kids. They didn't want them playing right outside their homes. Interestingly enough, all the money they spent on the trees, every single tree died. But every single tree died, so it was back to an open field. But by now, you know, the kids were too old to play there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're nasty, Gary. They're nasty.
Mm-hmm. They are nasty, and they're mean, and they're cruel, and they're evil.
Yeah, they're
and
evil.
And I do wonder what will happen 500 years from now when we reflect back on the 1500s or the year 1000, and we referred to barbarism, or we referred to a particular race of people, how horrible, how terrible they were. What will they say about us? What, just because we lived with plumbing and electricity, we're good people? I don't think so. This is not what defines good. The government of the United States, the federal government, has the authority to come in and stop this. And the simple response to the question why should create an enormous amount of suspicion. When looking at the why, the answer is there's too much money in it for them. They have too much money. We've made this too profitable. We've made it too good.
So let's go back to eating away at profits, where we're going to make everybody physically sick, starting with kids who are going to be relegated to the couch in front of TV or with their iPhones or iPads or whatever it is they do when they just sit there and veg out instead of being outdoors, building snowmen right now if you live in my neck of the woods, sunning themselves if they're in your neighborhood, to the parents who are getting sick because of stress. Ultimately, we're going to be a very sick society.
Yes, a sick society and getting sicker. Not enough health care to house this population. Not enough money to take care of this population. And along the way, many people, and I'm talking about millions of people now, are going to have to go by the way, as part of the collateral damage. In war, we would call it triage, meaning that we're only going to take the most sick, the worst cases, and we'll take them first. But the problem is that a lot of these cases are very bad. So which one do we take first, and which one do we let die?
The death panels.
The setup is completely out of hand. And going back to the example about the retaliation of kids, it's not just those kids. It's the friends of those children. How about the aunts, the uncles, the nieces, the nephews, the brothers and sisters? They're family members who have a family who lost their home. And then they go and they tell their friends, and they tell their friends. This isn't an individual event. This is an event that is matriculating from home to home to home in mass numbers. I have asked the following question over and over and over again. I get no answer. Why have we not put together a national tracking system to find out what's happening to these families that are losing their homes? Where are the children going? And most importantly, what is their health with respect to what has happened? No one has yet to put together any tracking system. Boy, as soon as we got the Ebola scare, well, we're on it. Let's stop the world. Or as soon as we've got the scare of the measles, let's stop the world. But this that's going on every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we know nothing about, because it's not in our best interest financially.
There's a stigma attached to this, and we had someone years ago, this was before the internet, who went into court and went through and looked through all the court records and tracked down the people who had problems, because we were trying to put together a group to fight this. And when he went and talked to them, what happened, Gary, was the people were so embarrassed. They were very angry that they had been tracked down. They were so embarrassed. They didn't want friends and family to know what had happened to them. So they kept quiet. They were not interested in getting involved. They did not want to talk to us. They did not want to join us. They wanted to be left alone. They kind of lost their homes, and they went.
Yeah.
So there's a stigma. It's like being raped. When a woman is raped, she doesn't want to talk about it, because we've conditioned ourselves to believe that she asked for it, that she must have done something to start the rape. It's not the violent guy who raped her. He's okay. She did something to ask for it. They feel that they've done something to ask for it. And that we need to get over that.
Yeah. I keep on going back to the federal government, and it needs to step in and say, people, we're here for you. We work for you. We're here to solve your problems. Step forward and give us the information you need. In essence, by doing nothing, they're saying keep it secret.
Well, they keep washing their hands and saying this is a state issue. You've got to go to your state government. So you get bounced around from pillar to post, and nothing ever happens. And I just want to know what it's going to take. And maybe you can help me with this, Gary. What is it going to take to convince people that, A, the HOA is not there for them? It never was. B, it's not protecting their property values. C, it's costing them a ton of money that they don't need. D, thanks to you, it's ruining their health. And E, if they don't get off their backsides and start fighting back, they're going to leave a mess for their kids and grandkids. It's time to stop believing everything they're told.
Yeah.
They're being lied to. It's smoke and mirrors. There's nothing new out there.
I hear this and I feel the frustration, and I have my own frustration, and I know something from the history of the United States. We are a very reactive versus proactive culture. We don't build the dam when the water is leaking. We build the dam after it's come through. We react. We're not proactive.
Okay. How do we change that?
We change that, I think, by having enough information. Enough incidents happened, enough murders, enough violence, enough situations occur that come together collectively under a single hoof of information where people can say, enough, enough. So you're right, we need to do it now.
Well, in your book you say the time is now, and I couldn't agree with you more. The time is now.
Mm-hmm. The time is now.
It's way past. It's way past. Yeah. We've got to do something about it.
Yes. And there is, as long as the profitability picture continues to grow and become attractive, I'm going to spend all the money I can to keep that information from coming to the surface. Take away the profit picture, and the time will be right now, because there'll be no reason for it to happen. We've got private industry making all this money so that the federal government can make a few dollars to support its infrastructure failure. The numbers don't work.
And people have got to understand. That's why I do the show. I mean, the show is to get information out there. That's the only reason I do this.
And what you're doing, Sue, is so important. So important, laying seeds. And not only that, that people can go back and listen to a database of the shows is absolutely paramount to getting this done.
Well, but am I reaching enough people? I mean, that's my question. Am I reaching enough people to make them understand?
I believe that we reach people just as you are doing it, in time. The numbers build and they grow. And one person stands on a street corner and yells, and someone starts to listen. And then two, and then four, and then eight. Because of what you're doing, because the databases are there, people could go back and listen to what was once said and build on that information. Are you reaching enough people right this second? Probably not. Will that information grow and disseminate in time? Absolutely. Getting our handle on the wind, this is difficult.
I think it's time that we just stop letting people ruin our lives, and let's take control of your lives, guys. You know, you can do it. I believe in you guys individually. I believe that you can do it. You've just got to do it.
Me too.
You've just got to do it. In your book, at some point you said that you were looking for information and trying to track stuff, and you said, all attempts I have made have been thwarted. And this is all in Chapter 1. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. It goes back to what we said earlier. I'm looking for the information on the number of people, the exact family, the home, the address, the name of the children who have been displaced due to HOA foreclosures. Where did they go? What did they do? What are their health care problems? Did they end up having to go to doctors? Were they not able to go to doctors? Could they not afford to go to the doctor? Were there additional health care problems because they couldn't go? I want all that information. When I check into a medical office, I keep on checking all these boxes about prior information. Have you ever seen, when you go to a doctor, a box that says, do you live in an HOA?
Good point.
Never.
Good never. Point.
We've never been able to do it because we don't understand what the importance of that information would be. But if I could get that information, that question, on every intake and every medical record, just in an area, and then I could disseminate that information and compare it to the health records, I think I'm going to find out that people who live in homeowners associations are more likely to have stress-related illnesses than people who don't.
All right. Here's something that I think we can do at the federal level. Because now with Obamacare, we have, everything is going through the federal government, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we can get the federal government to require that question on medical records, would that give us a start?
Yeah, it's a start. It's a place where we can go.
Okay,
sure.
So we need to find my, and I'm going to tell you this quite frankly, my congressman is totally useless. So I'm not going to start with my congressman. If you have a good congressman or a good state senator, I'd love to talk to them. You know, anybody listening here, if you have someone who's really good in your state, let's work with them. Jerry Conley is useless. I sent him a short email with a question, and he didn't even read it. I get this automatic response, thank you for letting me know what's on your mind. It's so important for me to understand what your concerns are in order for me to be able to properly represent you. My concern was I had a question. And that's not the first time I got that kind of nonsense from that idiot. Mm-hmm. So, Jerry Conley, you're useless. You're totally useless. I'm not even coming to you.
Yep.
But there are other good legislators across the country. Let's work with the good ones. Let's reward them.
Yes. I agree.
So you think that's a good first step?
I think that a very good step would be if we know, have a list of good congressmen, good senators, ones that we can spend our time on. Here's the master list of people to call. Even though they're not in your state, you can call them in their state because they're interested in the problem. Now we are supplying information to the people in general about where their questions and concerns are, not going to go into an empty well. That's, to me, would be a start.
All right, so I'm going to put something out. I'm going to start using my website, and I'm going to start using my list, and I'm going to request that people send me the names of their legislators. And let's do this, Gary.
Okay, I'm with you.
Let's do this.
And let me know how I can. Let me know what I can do to help and to support and to be part of it.
Well, I think a good start is coming up with the questions and what we want on these lists. I mean, if the government is going to take care of our health care, maybe they ought to have a better picture of what we're dealing with.
Okay. All right. Then I will make it my job, I will take my job on right now, to come up with some basic questions to ask individuals as it relates to this issue. Keep it small, keep it brief, and see if we can get it added on to the list of questions.
And anybody listening to this, please send me to onthecommons@cox.net, or you can go through my website. Send me the name and contact information for your federal legislator, either your congressman or your state senator, or your federal senator, and let's start working with them.
And I'll take it. As I said, I'll take charge of writing the questions.
And you'll handle the questions. And let's make sure that everybody knows how to read your book, Gary. I don't think we've given out your website.
If you go to HOA Crisis in America, simply type in that string of words, you will automatically get the book, and it will be opened, and it will be free. Once you're in the book, you may do what you want with it, and you may tear apart different sections of the book and then send it again to yourself with just that section. Or you want a friend of yours to know just about a section. Just send the section forward.
Let's use some of those sections to send to any legislators we come across. We'll come up with a basic email.
Yes.
And we'll just keep sending it to them.
Okay.
And
all right.
And the more people will have it, we'll have a thing ready. People can copy, paste, and send it. It would always be better to add your own request and your own words so that it's not doesn't look like a form letter, basically. And let's see where we go with that.
Yes, HOA Crisis in America.
And I will have it on my promo and on my website. You've got to go. Every time I go there, I find new stuff. And it's amazing. It's an incredible book, Gary. Thank you so much for writing it.
Well, you are welcome.
Thank you so much for being you, and thank you for joining us today on The Commons.
And thank you for letting me on your show and being a part of getting all this word on. You're doing a fabulous job.
Thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.